Welcome to the Deep Dive. This is brought to you by AI Unraveled. And a quick note, this deep dive is created and produced by Etienne Newman. He's a senior engineer up in Canada and also a passionate soccer dad. If you like what you hear today, and we hope you do, please make sure to like and subscribe. It really helps get these insights out there. So today is June 26, 2025, and wow, it feels like another day, another whirlwind of AI news, doesn't it?
It really does. Just trying to keep up is almost a full-time job.
Exactly. I mean, you look at the headlines, AI decoding DNA, robots getting smarter on their own, people building apps without code. It's just a lot.
A huge amount. And the pace isn't slowing down.
Which is precisely why we're doing this deep dive. Our plan today is to sift through some of the biggest stories from what we're calling the AI Innovations, June 26, 2025 Daily Chronicle. We want to unpack the really crucial bits and figure out, you know, what does all this actually mean for you? How's it changing healthcare, software, the legal stuff?
Yeah, cutting through the noise to the actual impact.
Exactly. So let's dive right in. First up, DeepMind's Alpha Genome. This sounds huge. They're talking about reading DNA like a scientist in a box, compressing years of analysis into minutes.
Yeah, it's genuinely groundbreaking. What they've done is apply transformer architecture, you know, the same kind of tech behind large language models like ChatGPT.
Right, the text-based AI.
Exactly. But they've trained it specifically on genomic data, massive amounts of it. It can process DNA sequences up to a million letters long, which is way beyond what older tools could handle.
A million letters.
And yeah, it's incredibly good at predicting the function of different parts of the genome. It outperformed existing methods on, I think, 22 out of 24 standard tests, state-of-the-art stuff.
And there was that case study, right, about leukemia.
That's right. Really compelling. It accurately predicted how specific mutations in the non-coding parts of DNA, the parts that don't directly make proteins.
The so-called junk DNA, though we know it's not really junk.
Precisely. How those mutations could switch on a cancer-driving gene. And get this. They trained the model in just 4 hours.
4 hours. On what?
Google's custom processors, their TPUs, which just shows the power of specialized hardware, too.
Okay, so faster diagnosis, better understanding of diseases like cancer, that's obviously huge.
Yeah.
But what are the broader implications here?
Well, think about rare diseases. Often someone gets their whole genome sequenced, but doctors still can't pinpoint the one mutation causing the problem because the analysis is so tough.
Right.
Alpha Genome could change that. It lets researchers or doctors virtually test thousands of genetic variations very quickly without needing physical lab experiments for each one. It helps narrow down the possibilities dramatically.
So it speeds things up massively.
Massively. But it also democratizes things. Imagine smaller labs, university researchers who maybe couldn't afford the huge computational resources before. Now they can potentially run these complex analyses too.
Right.
It could unleash a wave of new discoveries, speed up drug development, especially for those rarer conditions. It's about getting genetic insights out of the big centers and into more hands.
That's a really powerful idea. Democratizing genetic insights.
Yes.
Okay, let's pivot slightly from the super complex world of genomics mm-hmm. to tools maybe more of us use daily. OpenAI, mm-hmm. ChatGPT Pro. Mm-hmm. They've just added integrations with Google Drive, Dropbox, SharePoint, Box. You can pull files right into the chat.
Yeah, this is a big deal for workflow, actually. It basically turns ChatGPT Pro into a much more unified research assistant.
How so?
Well, think about it. If you're a student, a researcher, a professional dealing with lots of documents stored in the cloud.
Which is pretty much everyone these days.
Right. Instead of having, you know, 10 browser tabs open, downloading files, copying, pasting text. You can just ask ChatGPT to search your drive or Dropbox, pull in the relevant document, even cite it for you, all within the chat.
Okay, that does sound genuinely useful. Less friction?
Exactly. Less friction, less context switching. It helps you focus on actually using the information, not just finding it.
Right. Now, speaking of making complex things easier, Anthropic's Claude, this is pretty wild. Hmm? They're letting users build and share AI apps directly from the chat interface.
Yes. This one really caught my eye. It's blurring the lines between being a user of AI and a creator with AI.
And the model is, interesting, users pay their own API costs for running the app, but the person who built it pays nothing.
That's the fascinating part, especially from a business perspective. There's this quote going around, when the AI company gives away your business model for free, you weren't building a moat, you were building a demo.
Ooh, okay. Elaborate on that.
Well, think about all the startups building relatively simple workflow tools. Maybe wrapping an AI model with a specific interface for a niche task?
Yeah, there are loads of those.
Anthropic is basically saying, you don't need a separate company for that anymore. Your users can build that themselves right here in Claude. It potentially commoditizes a whole layer of software development.
So like a new creator economy, but for conversational apps. No coding needed.
Pretty much. We're already seeing examples pop up, people building AI-powered game characters, custom learning tools, data analysis apps, where you just upload a spreadsheet and ask questions in plain English.
And they mentioned artifacts, those things Claude generates, over 500 million created. And now, a dedicated space for them, plus easy sharing with just a link.
Yeah, the sharing and remixing aspect is key too. You can share your app, someone else can try it, maybe tweak it, build on it. It's very collaborative. And it's available to everyone, free, pro, max users.
It really feels like AI is becoming a building block for, well, for everyone.
It's heading that way, fast.
Which, you know, brings us back to building skills in this area.
Mm-hmm.
If hearing about Claude building apps or Alpha Genome analyzing DNA inspires you, if you want to move from just using AI to actually building with it or proving your expertise, then Etienne Newman's resources are really worth checking out. He's got the AI Unraveled Builders Toolkit that's full of guides, tutorials, videos, audio, all designed to help you get started building AI applications.
Right, practical stuff to get your hands dirty.
Exactly. And if you're looking to really formalize those skills, maybe boost your career, his AI certification prep books are fantastic. They cover Azure AI Engineer, Google Cloud Generative AI Leader, AWS AI Practitioner, Azure AI Fundamentals, Google Machine Learning, basically the key certs.
Those certifications are definitely becoming more valuable in the job market.
For sure. You can find all of that over at djmk.com. And of course, we'll put the links in the show notes for you. Okay, let's shift gears again. Section 2. AI infrastructure and the developer's toolkit. Google dropped something called Gemini CLI.
Oh, yeah, the command line interface.
Open sourced it, powered by Gemini 2.5 Pro. And the reaction was apparently huge, 17,000 GitHub stars overnight. What is this and why are developers so excited?
So CLI means command line interface. It's basically putting AI directly into the terminal window that developers use constantly for coding, managing files, running tasks.
Okay, so instead of asking ChatGPT in a browser, they type commands.
Exactly. They can use it for like debugging code, automating tasks, even generating images or videos through integrations with Imogen and Veo right there in their core workspace, no switching contexts.
And Google's being pretty generous with usage.
Very generous. 60 requests per minute, 1,000 queries a day, totally free. And critically, it uses Gemini 2.5 Pro, which has that massive 1 million token context window.
Which means it can understand a lot of code or text at once.
A huge amount. Like it could potentially read and understand an entire code base, not just snippets. That's a game changer for complex tasks. It's also integrated with Google's Code Assist.
So why the Trojan horse analogy some people are using?
Because Google has basically embedded its powerful AI right into the heart of the developer workflow. It's a direct challenge to OpenAI's Codex and GitHub Copilot. By making it free, powerful, and integrated, they're making it incredibly easy for developers to start relying on Google's AI for coding assistance.
Ah, trying to become the default.
Precisely. The massive GitHub interest shows just how much demand there is for this kind of tooling and maybe how sensitive developers are to having open, accessible AI tools. It's a big strategic play by Google.
Got it. Okay, quick mention on the hardware side, NVIDIA, stock hitting record highs. No big surprise there, I guess.
Not really, no. The demand for their chips to power all this AI, robotics, automation, it's just continuing to surge. Investor confidence is sky high. They're still the engine driving a lot of this.
Right. And speaking of AI needing powerful hardware, but maybe not always in the cloud, Google DeepMind announced an on-device version of Gemini for robots.
Yes, a lightweight version optimized to run directly on the robot itself, not relying on a constant cloud connection.
What's the significance of that?
It means real-time intelligence without network lag. Think about robots in a warehouse or maybe helping around the house or in a factory. If they have to send data to the cloud, wait for processing, and get instructions back, there's a delay.
Okay, yeah, latency matters for physical actions.
A lot. On-device AI means the robot can perceive its environment, make decisions, and react almost instantly. This could unlock much more fluid, capable and autonomous robots for logistics, manufacturing, maybe even elder care someday. It's a big step towards making robots more practical in dynamic environments.
Fascinating. Bringing the intelligence right onto the machine.
Exactly.
And again, for anyone wanting to really dig into these infrastructure or developer areas, mastering the underlying tech is key for careers. Those AI certifications we mentioned, Azure, Google Cloud, AWS, are super relevant here. Etienne Noman's prep books at djamgatetech.com are a solid resource. Links in the notes. All right, let's move into our final section, AI's ethical and legal frontier. This stuff always gets complicated fast.
Oh.
We saw Meta just won a round in its AI copyright case, similar to Anthropic's earlier win. This was the case brought by authors like Sarah Silverman. The judge said they didn't show enough evidence of market harm from their books being used in training data.
Right, Judge Cherry is ruling.
So does this mean it's open season for training AI on copyrighted books and articles?
Not so fast. That's the crucial nuance here. It's really important to understand what the ruling didn't say.
Okay.
First, it was a procedural win for Meta, specifically on the market harm argument for just those 13 authors. It wasn't a class action covering everyone. Second, Judge Chabria explicitly wrote that his ruling does not stand for the proposition that Meta's use of copyrighted materials is lawful.
Okay, so he didn't say the training itself was legal.
Exactly. He basically said these particular plaintiffs didn't prove their case strongly enough yet. He even criticized the earlier Anthropic decision, saying it kind of brushed aside the potential harm to creators' markets. There's also a separate claim against Meta about distributing copyrighted works within the AI's output, which is still pending.
So the fight is far from over.
Far from over. These rulings might make AI companies feel a bit bolder about training for now, but the fundamental legal questions about AI and intellectual property are still very much undecided. Expect more lawsuits and potentially stronger ones. Big uncertainties remain.
Got it. That's a really important distinction. Now, from legal battles to, well, just bad practice, Scale AI. This company is a major player in data labeling for AI. Just got a huge investment from Meta.
Yeah, $14 billion valuation, working with all the big names.
And they got caught storing confidential client data from Google, Meta, xAI in public Google Docs.
Unbelievable, isn't it? Business Insider apparently found it and tipped them off. Public Google Docs?
It sounds almost like a joke, but it's real. What are the consequences?
Severe. Google was already reportedly looking to reduce ties with Scale after the Meta investment, maybe due to competitive concerns. This gives them the perfect reason. Reports say Microsoft and xAI are also backing away fast. It's just treating highly sensitive, confidential enterprise AI training data like you'd treat a shared grocery list. It completely undermines trust. It brings all the concerns about data governance, privacy, and security in AI projects right back to the forefront. How can clients trust you after a leak like that?
Yeah, trust is everything there. A really stark reminder of the responsibilities involved.
Absolutely. Brutal mistake.
Okay, one more on the privacy front. Closer to home for many, Amazon Ring. They're rolling out AI-generated security alerts, summarizing activity, identifying familiar faces.
Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, it's smarter surveillance, right? More convenient. Instead of scrolling through hours of footage, you get a quick summary. Maybe it recognizes your family versus a stranger.
That's convenient, yeah.
But it obviously dials up the privacy concerns again. AI analyzing everything that happens around your home, identifying faces, learning patterns. How is that data used, stored, secured? It's the classic trade-off. Convenience versus potentially more intrusive monitoring by AI-powered neighborhood watch systems.
Another balancing act.
Always is with this tech.
We are almost out of time, but just a super quick lightning round of other things that happened today. Postman has an AI readiness hub for APIs now. Higgsfield AI released a photo model called Soul. Creative Commons launched CC Signals for AI model reuse. 11 Labs has Voice Design V3 for expressive multilingual voices. And Getty dropped its lawsuit against Stability AI after a different fair use ruling went Stability's way.
The breadth is incredible. Every layer of the stack, from hardware to applications to legal.
It really is. So that wraps up our deep dive for today, June 26, 2025. We've gone from DNA decoding with Alpha Genome to practical tools from ChatGPT and Claude, new developer power with Gemini CLI, on-device robot brains, and navigated some tricky legal and ethical waters.
A lot to digest, definitely.
Absolutely. We've tried to distill the key insights for you from today's AI Chronicle, and maybe a final thought to leave you with. As AI keeps weaving itself deeper into everything, our homes, hospitals, workplaces, even our legal system, how are you going to navigate this? What new questions does this raise for you personally or professionally? And what opportunities might you seize in this world that's being reshaped so rapidly by algorithms?
Good questions to ponder.
Indeed. So this deep dive was brought to you by AI Unraveled, created and produced by Etienne Newman. Please do like and subscribe if you found this valuable. And remember, if you're ready to level up your own AI skills, check out Etienne's AI Unraveled Builder's Toolkit and his AI certification prep books covering Azure, Google Cloud, AWS, and more. It's all at djamgatetech.com, and the links are right there in our show notes. Thanks so much for joining us on The Deep Dive.